Hi, my name is Robert McMahon. I'm the Connection Director here at Covenant Church, and I'm thrilled that you're listening. If you're checking us out for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here, and I'd like to take this chance to invite you to let us know that you're tuning in today. We'd love nothing more than to help you start building meaningful relationships and to join you on the journey of faith. Just go to bgcovenant.org/connect and let us know how we can be in touch. With that said, let's dive in and listen together to this week's message.
What we're excited about today is this is our week where we're gonna lean into anxiety, okay? This whole series is about the life that was generously given to us and how we generously live it out. And so we're dealing with anxiety, which is that low hum of restlessness and worry, the dread and distress of life, that inescapable feeling in the pit of your stomach that everything is not okay and it's never gonna be okay. If you struggle with anxiety, whether that's occasional or it's acute right now, whether it's untreated or medicated, if you struggle with anxiety, I need you to hear this. So don't jump into this and be like, here we go. If you struggle with anxiety, there's no shame there, okay? Jesus was speaking to it 2,000 years ago. We're still swimming in it today. It's part of being human. So we're not here to give you a secret prescription of how to beat anxiety. We're here to give you some Jesus wisdom on how this all works. And so I'm gonna say up front, if you're acutely struggling right now, if your anxiety feels debilitating, yes, listen today. I think Jesus has something for you. That's true. But don't hesitate to seek additional help. Some of you are working through severe trauma. Your nervous system is taking a beating. Your body will reflect that. Counseling and anti-anxiety meds, they're not a sign of weakness. They're not a sin. And they're not a sign that you don't trust God. The Lord provides a lot of loving pathways to healing, and we know people who can help you. We happen to have many great counselors and folks that attend this church who have lots of great recommendations. Specifically, we have the co-owner of the Anxiety Treatment Center of Greater Toledo, which is kind of the perfect person to give us good recommendations and suggestions for where you might be able to go. We have all the connections you need. So if you're here and you are struggling with anxiety and you go, listen, this is capital A anxiety in my life. This card is in the seat back in front of you. Here's all I'd ask you to do. Take the prayer card, write your name, however you want us to contact you, it's down there, and just write anxiety on it and we'll know what to do. We'll reach out to you and we'll see how we can connect you to the right resource to make sure you get the care you need, because God has a plan, okay? So I want to say that up front, make sure everybody hears that. That said, let's read Jesus' words, and then we're going to discuss what he's talking about in Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Scripture says this. It says, therefore, am I starting in the wrong spot? I was like, whew, man, that's a rough start for me. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Okay. If we go back, what was the first word in the passage we just read? Therefore. What do we ask when we see that word? What's the therefore, therefore? The therefore is giving us a hint that there's something before that we got to pay attention to. This is not a standalone TikTok about anxiety. Look, it's a little TikTok. Oh, look, it's not that. You can't pull it out of the rest of the Bible and go, this is about anxiety. This is in context of the rest of the chapter that we're reading. Jesus is preaching a sermon in the middle of which he tells this anxiety bit. He's teaching about the generous life. He's using money as an illustration. He's warning about idols. Let me give you the overview of chapter 6 up to this point, and I'm going to go fast. You can go back and read it. Matthew 6, 1 through 4, Jesus is basically saying, if you give to get noticed or get benefits, that's not generous, it's self-gratifying. 6, 5 through 8, and 16 through 18, he says, if you're doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, that's not the right thing. Matthew 6, 9 through 15, Jesus says, life is received, not achieved, and God sustains you, and only dependence frees you. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, what you treasure in life will reveal your heart. And Matthew 6, 22 through 24 says, how you see the world and how you see God changes everything because you can't serve God and money. That's what he said through this sermon so far. And then he says, therefore, don't be anxious. He's talked about giving and praying and debts and fasting and darkness and light and treasure and money. And now, therefore, Jesus is saying that Matthew 6, 1 through 24 is the basis for 25 to 34. He's essentially told you how to see the world, how to interact, how to pray, how to relate, how to give generously and live generously. And he says, therefore, basically, if you can start living the generous life, you can start the journey of living beyond the day-to-day anxiety. Let's do some definition of terms. Let's not talk vaguely about what things are. Anxiety. Anxiety defined as apprehension or worry about a potential or anticipated threat. Okay? It's about something that has not happened but might. What is fear? We have to juxtapose that with fear. These are different. Fear is the emotional response to an immediate, real threat. Okay? Fear says, there's a snake on the stage. I'm terrified. Anxiety says, what if snakes started falling from the ceiling and were on the stage? I would be terrified, and now I'm paralyzed by the anxiety that that might happen. And it could. You've been up there lately? You never know. If you lose your job, you're going to have fear. Fear says, uh-oh, I don't have a job. Anxiety says, oh no, what if I never get another job? Fear says, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. Anxiety says, what if I miss a bill and end up homeless under a bridge? Fear is a response to what's happening. It's very normal. Your body was designed for it. Anxiety is a response to what might happen, which also is built into your design. It's important to know what a threat is when the threat is coming, so we don't just walk blindly into dumb things. But Jesus is not saying you're never going to have fear or you won't find yourself in trial. What he's attempting to help you find is the path to releasing the apprehension that comes with that future rumination of the potential anticipated trials that might happen to you. There's a pathway that largely has to do with how you see the world around you. How do you navigate your way through a world that seems to be full of anxiety? It's about how you see the world, and how you see the world informs how you view tomorrow. So Jesus says, look to me. Trust me, depend on me, soak up the abundance and the security that is available when you come to the kingdom of heaven, soak that up, and then you can begin to walk the journey absent the day-to-day anxieties of what about tomorrow. He also implied in that, says you can choose not to. You can choose not to rely on me, you can choose not to rely on the kingdom, you can choose not to depend on me, you can choose not to take on my security, you can choose that. If you choose to search for attention and affirmation, to find your meaning and approval in others, you will be anxious. If you choose to believe that the world is what you make it, that you're the main character, and you're the master of your destiny, you will be anxious. If you choose to treasure the things of this world, to chase money or stuff or sex or status, you will be anxious. If you choose to see the world as a place of scarcity, to believe that God is good and God is in charge, if you choose to believe that life is a competition and that the winner is the one with the biggest bank account or the most stuff, you will be anxious. But Jesus invites you instead to zoom out. Come out further than that. Anybody familiar with this? There's a movie. It's called Cinderella. Anybody? Okay. Cinderella. There she is. Our girl. Not looking good for her in this scene. All right. She got to mop the floors and bring the breakfast and do the washing. And I could sing the song if you want. Make the fire, fix the breakfast. She goes around in circles. She's very, very busy. Some of you know that I'm singing the song. I watched all the Disney movies. I had a little sister. She was 7 years younger, and I memorized every Disney movie up until 1989 in a way that I'm not proud of. But what's the deal with Cinderella? Well, none of us look at Cinderella and feel any certain thing. We already know. We know how it ends, right? How does it end? There it is. Way to go. She made it. Everything's fine. Someone here has not seen Cinderella, and they're like, spoilers, bro. Listen. I was going to watch that next week. It's 76 years old. Your fault now. Why don't you like spoilers? Let's talk about that. Spoilers is good. Why don't we like spoilers? Why is this a spoiler? Spoiler tells you how the movie ends. It removes. Don't show that yet. That's scary. No. Spoilers show us how the movie ends. Spoilers remove the tension, removes everything we like about the movie, because what we go to the movies for is this emotional tension. So let me go through a few. Let me spoil a few movies before we get to this one. We got to take that off. That's gonna really mess with me. That girl's looking over my shoulder. How many of you have not seen The Sixth Sense? Sixth Sense. You've never seen it. Okay. The guy was dead the whole time. That was fun. How many of you have never seen Star Wars? You're like, listen, I just never got around to it. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine. Darth Vader is Luke's father. So, shocking. I'm not even gonna make you raise your hands for Titanic, but Jack dies, okay? Falls right off that piece of wood, he's gone. Like a stone just sunk. Lord of the Rings, anybody? Lord of the Rings? You're halfway through? Listen, what's happened so far in the movie?
We just got past the fellowship, formation of the fellowship.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Katniss Everdeen is going to beat Dumbledore and throw the ring into the Death Star, okay? I'm almost positive, something like that. Okay, good luck. We'll see how it ends. Come tell me. I haven't seen it, so you tell me. Well, spoilers ruin the movie, right? Spoilers ruin the movie. Why? They erase the tension in the story. If you know the ending, it eliminates the heightened emotion that the conflict is supposed to bring. It's the whole point of the movie. The conflict is why we like the movie. As soon as the story is ruined by a spoiler, I don't want to see this anymore. It's a dumb story. Okay? So, Blair Witch Project. If you were of my generation, this was a thing. In 1999, this movie comes out called The Blair Witch Project. And if you read the poster, which we didn't have, we had posters back in the day, it said, in October of 1994, three student filmmakers disappeared in the woods near Burkittsville, Maryland, while shooting a documentary, and a year later, their footage was found. This is before the internet ruined everything, okay? We went to the movies not knowing if that was true. We thought that I think this is actually found footage that they clipped together to make a documentary. Only afterwards, spoiler, it's not found footage. It's just shaky handheld stuff designed to look like found footage. It wasn't real. But people freaked out. People were terrified of the woods for a long time. And it was this whole thing that going into it, this could really be a documentary, and that's really scary. Once you knew it was not real, then it's just a dumb, low-budget horror movie that kind of makes you feel motion sick. That was all it was. The reality was, once you know the truth, it gets rid of the tension. Jesus says, zoom out. What Jesus is saying in this is embrace the spoilers, okay? If you remember nothing else other than the fact that I ruined a bunch of movies for people, you are to embrace the spoilers. If you know who wrote the script and you know who's directing it and you know the ending, you can take a deep breath because you can release the heightened emotion that comes with the conflict of life. The Bible is full of spoilers and the future is anything but uncertain. Jesus says, if you need a reminder, I've got you. The birds live freely and eat well. The flowers simply stretch out and beauty emerges. They don't fret and toil. God supplies and sustains and they all thrive. How much more does he love you? Do you think he'll supply for you? Do you think he'll sustain you? Do you really believe God loves you? If so, every time you see a bird flapping through the air, you hear a bird singing in a tree, you see those tulips coming up in a few weeks, they're like, wait a minute, that's how much more does God love me? If you flip to the end of the story, you read the ultimate spoiler in the Bible, Revelation 21. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. God is working this thing out. Your trial is not terminal. Your pain is not permanent. Do God's people go through hard times? Absolutely. Do God's people know the end of the story? If God's people know the end of the story, then we're aware. The spoiler actually helps us remove that heightened emotional tension. I can still feel a way in my trial. That's fine. But I can also have the hope knowing exactly how the story is going to end for me. I'll say it this way. The generous life that God offers doesn't mean life will never be hard. It means you'll never be alone and true hope always exists. The reason we feel so down in the darkness, in the isolation of the anxiety of the day-to-day life is because you feel alone in it. You're carrying it by yourself. One, that's why a church exists, is to be a family to carry it with you. Two, if you know the end of the story is resolving, that God is going to take this, God is going to use this, God's going to redeem this, then the hopelessness of that isolation goes away too. You get something wholly different, but you have to zoom out to see it. If you know how your story ends, even if you know that God is in charge, if you know that you are ultimately cared for and covered, that God ultimately protects and provides, that God ultimately secures and sustains, then it changes the story we tell ourselves, doesn't it? Once you pay attention to the story God is telling you through his word, through his son, when you pay attention to that story, it begins to steal the power from anxiety. I'm not saying you should walk out of here and be like, I used to be anxious and now I'm perfect. I'm saying this is a lifelong pursuit that as you lean in further to the kingdom of God, as you lean in further to the person of Christ, as you lean in further to the God of the universe, what you find is you are more and more and more secure. And people who are wildly secure, who feel safe and provided for and protected and supplied for, those people tend to have a little less of the day-to-day anxiety. I've run into people in this church who lost the job and they come say, hey, if you hear of anything, let me know. And I'm like, how are you feeling about it? They're like, God, I'll figure it out. And we sometimes be like, that person's being too casual with how this is going. And that's not it. That person's been through something and has learned that God takes care of them. That's what the answer to that is. And there's season after season, we go through it with people. Hospitalizations, you walk in that room and there's some people that are high anxiety and that's understandable, that's a tough place to be. And then strangely, it's jarring for me. You walk in and people are like, I'm good, it's cool. What are they saying? Like, I don't know, this isn't looking good, but I'm good with it. God's got me. Oh. That's somebody who's read the end of the story. That's somebody who's paid attention to the spoilers, who's going, it doesn't mean I'm not sad about this or I'm not worried about that. It doesn't mean I'm not fighting through the trial. It means that I know the end of the day that God has my best at heart. God's got me. God's caring for me. God's supplying for me. There's a bird outside the hospital window. I saw that bird. He loves me way more than that bird. I'm going to be okay. Whatever okay means to you. Because it doesn't always work out in the worldly terms. We have to zoom out further. Jesus keeps saying, zoom out further. I tell the story frequently of my sister who was gravely ill at 11. She had a lung transplant at 12. She had another one a few years later. She had a kidney transplant. She spent her whole life in hospitals, and at 25 years old, she passed away. We prayed for healing for 14 years. But on June 1st, 2013, when the Lord took her home, she was healed. That was her healing. The thing we prayed for 14 years finally happened on the day God took her home. It's not the way I designed it. It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I asked for. It's not how I wanted it to be. But the anxiety of her illness went with it. What if I could zoom out far enough to go, Lord, you will heal her in your time. Lord, you are going to figure this out in your way. If I believe Revelation 21, I believe that the day she breathed her last breath was the day her lungs finally worked. It wasn't until they stopped that she was healed. But you got to zoom way out to see that. You are in a trial right now. Everybody carries a burden. Everybody's in a battle. And you got to just keep zooming out further. It's why God gives us flowers and birds and things to look at. It's why he says, look at them, watch them, pay attention. He's not being trivial. He's saying, if they make it, how much more do I love you? You know how the story ends. Once you know that God sees you, you can stop caring about being applauded by others for doing the right thing. Once you realize God calls you his son or his daughter, you don't spend your days striving to make something of yourself. You're already a child of the king. Once you see how the story ends, you won't live with competitive greed or fear. As you try to outrun your anxiety, you live the generous life. Go back to the end of the passage, Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, the clothes and the food and the stuff that you need, it all be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. I love this translation and the way it says it. Tomorrow's going to be anxious for itself, man. Tomorrow's got enough issues going on. Live with today. The snake on the stage, deal with the snake on the stage. Don't be worrying about 20 more snakes falling from the ceiling. Deal with the thing in front of you. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There is no ideal body. There is no perfect 401k. There's no optimized follower count. There's not even a beach house that you offer to your pastor every summer. Only for a few weeks. None of that chases away anxiety. It is only when you zoom out beyond all the stuff. See his kingdom. And most crucially, see your identity in it. You were created on purpose for a purpose. You are a child of God. Nothing less. God so loved you, he sent Jesus. Jesus so loved you, he took the cross willingly for you. He died for you to redeem and restore you. So he says to look to the flowers and the sparrows. Jesus says to zoom out and look at the way he cares for the smallest things as a reminder of what he did to care for you. God is a good father. God is inviting you through Matthew 6 to the generous life, the life generously given that you can live freely in. He's asking you to trust him with your heart, to surrender your life, to surrender your control, surrender your striving. Where is it getting you anyway? Who are you racing? So you might seek him and his kingdom first. And then watch as the generous life shows up. You can exchange the overwhelming anxiety of the world with the abundance of his grace. And by the looks on some of your faces, you need that desperately today. You can exchange the overwhelming anxiety of the world with the abundance of his grace. Birds and lilies, please. Sons and daughters of the King. So here's your spoiler. He loves you more than you can imagine. He's redeemed you, restored you. He will one day wipe every tear from every eye. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess. We have the privilege to start living in that reality now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am grateful for the simplicity of your word. And if I would confess that sometimes we make complicated what is pretty straightforward. God, thank you for the reminder of birds and flowers, of simple things to remind us of who we are in you. I pray for each heart in this room, God, that we would each recognize what the birds and the flowers of our lives are, that you are trying to remind us how you provide. Father, for those who are struggling deeply with anxiety and the worry about tomorrow, I just pray your presence, that they would be overcome by you and they'd be overwhelmed by you, and the overwhelm of anxiety would be replaced by the overwhelm of your love and your grace and your mercy. Father, we desire to be a people that do seek your kingdom first. So Lord, shine a light on that pathway today. We might find you more fully, know you more fully, and walk out this generous life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.